When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
The following is a presentation of the Premier Dance Network.
I'm James, and this is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Oh, that's terrible. Hey everybody, welcome to The Stage Right Side. I'm James Whiteside, and this is episode 8 with ABT principal dancers Jillian Murphy and Marcelo Gomez, who also happen to be my friends. Jealous? You should be. So, say hi, guys.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So, let me just fill you in, you know, standard fare. We're doing The Golden Cockerel this week, which is based on a Pushkin story, about an astrologer who builds this big-ass chicken and, you know, like, it warns the czar about, you know, impending doom and, you know, if their fort is going to be attacked, whatever. So, stories.
Thanks for telling me
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, really?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, when are you coming to see it?
I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I will be in it. So, I play the astrologer, and I am sort of a wackadoodle, you know, omnipotent wizard, basically, and I create the golden cockerel, and I make the czar sign this contract that's like, hey, you can give him what, like, you have to give me whatever I want because I'm giving you this warning chicken, basically. And so the warning chicken is so awesome that the czar loves it so much, and it warns them of the war, whatever, even though his sons still die because they're dumber than rocks. The queen who comes in, you know, halfway through the ballet or whatever, that's who I want. I want her power. I want her. May or may not be in love with her. I haven't decided what sexuality the astrologer is. Sort of omnisexual, perhaps. But so I asked the czar for the queen, and the czar's like, hail to the no. So he rips up the contract, which is not real, and then the golden cockerel pecks him to death. Hey, Coco.
Hi,
we have an extra special guest because we're in my dressing room. So say hi, Corey.
Hi.
He's really excited we're here right now. yeah, so that's the tea. We're doing that this whole week, and if you haven't seen it or whatever, go to abt.org and get tickets because it's really, like, Russian. So, I want to...
Which me and Jillian are not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No, I mean, who is, though, really? Who's Russian?
Lots of people.
So, I want to talk to you guys specifically because, if I am correct, you two are the most senior principals in the company at this point, correct? You are the unspoken étoiles of the company, and I want to get some, like, stories from before.
Corey's making faces.
Yeah, duh. I mean, that's his job.
Right.
That's what he gets paid to do.
Cool.
So, Jill, let's start with you.
Yes.
Can you tell me exactly what your breakout role was? Anything like what happened? How did this happen?
We were on tour in the middle of America, and I was understudying a Kathy Moore spot in a Twilight Art ballet, so it was a principal role, which it was kind of wild that I was even learning this role.
How old were you again?
Sorry, I joined the company when I was 17. I think I was about 18 and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, at this time. And, by some fluke, I got thrown in the day of the show. Mm-hmm. There were a series of injuries, and I actually knew the role because I had done my homework mm-hmm. on my own, and I think that was my breakout role because it was just in jazz shoes, like very Twyla, mm-hmm. jazzy, but I was just very at ease, mm-hmm. and I think it was a surprise to the company that I like knew that role.
And could do it.
And that I did it, and I just had a blast on stage. So I think that was a big moment for me. After that, it was things like Odalisques and Corsair yeah. and, Golnar, Gamzadi, Etudes, things mm-hmm. like that. More turning and jumping.
Yeah. Technical prowess, yeah. what have you. Mm-hmm. Marcy, what about you?
Mine was in, I joined in 97, mm-hmm. August. And about 6 months later, or maybe 9 months later, we were going to a tour in Argentina, and it was a big tour, and was promoting Paloma Herrera, actually, in American Ballet Theater, and it was a huge event in Buenos Aires, and one of the soloists got injured, and they asked me to do Tchaikovsky Pas de Deux. So it was just barely in the corps de ballet, barely knew my way, and got casted to do that. And so I remember very vividly that the whole company was in the wings, waiting to see what this little kid could offer.
Yeah. Did you feel it was supportive, or was it shady?
It wasn't shady. I just think that it was... Perhaps there was an excitement in the air, mm-hmm. but people really didn't know my dancing then, you know? So they didn't know that I could start, you know, carry a pas de deux from beginning to finish. And so I did that, and then in the same show, I was in the back of the corps de ballet in Theme and Variations. So it gave me a little bit of light of stardom, and then kept me...
Snatched it right away.
Snatched it right back.
Back of the bus, girl.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw that show.
Yeah.
It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Marcelo was tearing it up.
You know, I have to say, like, when the kids get opportunities... Sorry, I'm peeing. Just kidding. Corey's washing his hands. When the youngsters get opportunities here, like, people really not just watch, but, like, it feels like an exciting thing, you know?
Yeah, it's very exciting.
I don't know, like, last week when there were a lot of premieres in, mm-hmm. in Corsair, like Devin and Golnar, like Gabe did a bunch of premieres, like all the Odalisques, like there were like six.
Yeah,
it was just fun to see, basically. So I totally get that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to, like, ABT tours so much. We sorry, I know.
Corey.
we tour so much. I wanted to ask you guys if you have any favorite tour moments, like personally. Jill, yes. Let's start with you.
Favorite tour moments? I don't know. I mean...
It doesn't have to be dancing. It
okay.
can be just like you liked this park in this place or something. I don't know.
All right. I think I have a lot of favorite spots that we go to, but Tokyo is definitely a favorite tour spot. Particularly just the audience, like the gifts they give you at the stage door and the excitement. Like it's like kind of a rock and roll concert after shows and... It's so
you
exciting.
Don't get that anywhere else.
Not at all. Like yeah. not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's super exciting. I love it.
Someone heard that I really liked Japanese curry, and they brought me like a packet of Japanese curry, and that's still my favorite thing that I've received at the stage door.
That's so great.
Yeah. Mars?
I think one of my favorite tours was a tour to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Athens and then to Thessaloniki. And Thessaloniki. Yeah.
Oh, her.
Very good accent in that. We were performing outside, so it was too hot for us to perform, to rehearse during the day. So we had the whole day free. We could explore the city and see the sights and eat some amazing Greek food and go to the beach or whatnot and then return.
Get really exhausted from rehearsal.
Yeah, exactly. And then go back to this beautiful stage at the Acropolis and then perform outside. It was just magical. Yeah. It was a really magical moment.
That tour was definitely one of the best. Yeah. We all had such a good time. Yeah. And Brisbane also, people were having a great time.
Like recently when we went to Brisbane?
Recently. I felt like it was just, just people were loving every moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time ABT had ever been to Australia, so that was kind of exciting.
Yeah, that was really fun. If you haven't been to Australia, you have to go because they have the best coffee. And that's just how I feel.
Also New Zealand.
Also New Zealand has pretty bomb-ass coffee.
And Brazil.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so you have a project coming up and you're taking some dancers to Brazil. Can you just, like word vomit about that? I find this interesting. Go on.
Yeah, so I haven't been home in my hometown in a little while, perhaps like 6 or 7 years, and it's the first time I'm taking these many dancers from ABT to perform at this gala, and it's very exciting because I'm showing a little bit of my choreography and a little bit of myself as a dancer and as a partner, as an actor, like different phases of my life, and getting to partner my friends, and they're going to be able to see where I grew up and where I was born. And
which is?
In Manaus, Brazil, north of Brazil, in the Amazon state. So there's a beautiful opera house called the Teatro Amazonas, and it's like a mini Palais Garnier.
Oh,
so it's a very special place and very hot and humid place.
Are you going to have to rehearse at night?
Yeah, we're going to have the day off. No, we're going to rehearse during the day. But it's inside. So it's very exciting because, there's nothing like the applause from your own people, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's 3 days, August 12th, 13th, and 14th.
So, and where can people research this? Is there a website or something?
Yes, they can go to www.bestseat.com.br.
.br, okay.
Yeah.
Bestseat.com.br, bitches. So, you just said something that was interesting to me. We don't feel this way because we live here and we're Americans, right?
Mm-hmm. We don't feel which way.
Like, I don't have a home to go to because I'm already here.
Mm.
Like,
I kind of felt that way when we just danced in North Carolina. I felt like it was a homecoming, and it was so special to go back and dance for people who saw me when I was like 14.
Yeah.
Training at the school, and to come back, 20-something years later with my friends and showing them, like, just a whole different caliber of dancing and repertoire. It was special. So I'm really excited to be part of Marcelo's group and to be part of his evenings.
So a couple months ago, actually the three of us were involved, we went to North Carolina School of the Arts to support Jillian and her scholarship endowment, basically. And how much money was raised? Like an obscene amount of money was raised, right? Like $200,000 or something?
$600,000.
Oh my God.
It's fully funded, and actually the recipient next year is Brazilian, mm-hmm. a Brazilian girl who was just rocking at the Youth America Grand Prix, was offered the Jillian Murphy Scholarship. It's a full tuition, housing, academics, training scholarship. So it's pretty great. And because it's an endowed scholarship, it's in perpetuity. So
that
as long
means,
as there's
that means school, forever, ever.
Yeah. So that was amazing that we were all there and that you guys helped with that fundraising evening.
I just did a dance.
Yeah, and then you got the buzz going after the dancing. Yeah.
It was our pleasure. It was so fun. Such incredible cause. Incredible. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's so rare that I give back.
So true. Stop.
Okay, are we halfway through the season now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do you feel at this point, like physically? Like, are you exhausted? Are you excited?
I'm really excited because I actually, right before the season started, I hurt my calf, and so I was sort of not feeling great at the beginning of the season. So I'm a little more well rested than some of you guys, and I'm just really pumped to do Swan Lake next week with Marcelo and with Corey.
Yeah, you've got double duty, right?
Yep, Monday and Friday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the rest of the season, is sure to have some really exciting dancing with these three ballets, you know, Swan Lake, Romeo, and Sleeping Beauty, which are iconic of ABT. And I think that every cast, it's a wonderful thing for the audience to keep on coming back to see how an Odette or Odio does it differently than another person, and how each principal, approaches the role differently. And in especially something like Romeo, there are so many interpretations of it. We try to change it every time, and that's how it keeps on growing. And that's part of the beauty of our careers and our lives.
Amen, sister. Mm-hmm. What about summer plans? I know that you have your gig in Manaus. Yes. And what is that, 2 weeks? Are you there?
That's 3 days.
It's 3 days.
It's just the gala is 3 days, yeah. And then before that, I'm in Japan with a gala in Japan Arts.
Oh, yeah. What are you dancing?
I'm dancing. Actually,
the clog dance?
I'm not doing the clog dance this time.
It's from Luffy.
Yeah.
Google it. Clog dance, Luffy.
Exactly.
So cute.
I'm actually very interesting.
You are very interesting.
No, not me. I'm dancing with Nina Ananashvili. Uh-huh. Which is incredible because she is, an ex-principal ballerina with ABT, and she's still dancing, and, I'm very excited to dance with her again. And then I'm dancing also with Cassie, Cassandra Trinery. Mm-hmm. So I'm having, bit of a flashback of my time with Nina, and then partnering a different generation from now. So it's going to be great.
You know, Bella was telling me about when Nina was dancing still, that the audience would literally just start screaming Nina, assoluta, just insane.
I wish I could have witnessed that. An event for shows, which is so cool.
She's Georgian, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nina had this kind of energy on stage that it would just capture everybody. Mm-hmm. You didn't know whether she was going to go right or left. Mm-hmm. It was always kind of a surprise, but that was the exciting part of it all, that the audience was just right there with her. Mm-hmm. It was just something that you can't really explain.
It's true. And you can't necessarily capture that on video either, that energy that she transmits to the audience.
Yeah.
She's just completely compelling. And anything could happen, but she's just loving it, and the audience is loving her, and it's just brilliant.
It's pure joy.
Yeah.
So this is interesting to me because both of you have been principals for quite a long time, real talk.
Yeah.
How do you stay interested in what you do, essentially? Because you've been at the top of your game for so long, why do you still try?
I feel like I'm learning something new every day. Even yesterday I was rehearsing Swan Lake and I was rehearsing Romeo and Juliet, and, there's always just, new ways to look at things. This week I'm actually trying to relinquish control, not, try to control, every movement, but to almost forget that, there's that step, and to feel something that makes me want to move and just happens to turn into that choreography. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Instead of just doing steps. Mm-hmm. So, it's just every day, or at least, week to week, I'm sort of learning. I'm always learning. That's what I love. One of the many things I love about this art, and I think it's kept me grounded and kept me searching as a principal for 14 years now. So, yeah, and I love it. It's so fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Also to play, to try new things every day or with every role. So, yeah. And part of that, you know, is with Marcelo. We're going to do Swan Lake again on Monday, and we did our very first Swan Lake together.
2001.
2001, yeah. Our first Swan Lake. And at that point, we were just all raw energy and emotion, and, you know, we're just really passionate about dancing and about the music, but also just clueless. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But it was all intuition, mainly.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly we'd been training for a long time before we did Swan Lake mm-hmm. the first time, but I think it's been kind of fascinating each time we do it again together, like what comes out, because it's different every time. Mm-hmm. And we've like grown from our other roles and like mm-hmm. our other daily like experiences, and our life experiences changes so much when you're doing stories about love or tragedy, betrayal, or forgiveness. You know, you learn these things in life, whether you want to or not. Yeah. And that really deepens the artistry that comes out on stage.
I think it's an interesting thing, because you are, when you're younger, your body is so much more, has so much more strength and power, and you can go on stage and do whatever you want, but you're not, artistically, you're not quite there yet. And you understand the roles, but you haven't had enough life experience. And as you get older, and you've done the roles a little bit longer, it kind of switches around. You know, you have to, your body doesn't feel quite the same, but artistically, you kind of like, you know, have something to say, a different something to say, and it's more important to you. Of course, you have to hit fifth position, you mm-hmm. have to turn out, you have to
show the steps,
all the technical merits, you know, if you will, have to be there. But it's how are you going to color it? What's the texture? What are you trying to say? Those things become actually, maybe, if not, you know, more important. So it's very hard to like get to a point where you talk about, you're asked us about the top of your game. I don't know about the top of your game. It's very hard to like have those things match mm-hmm. at one time.
Yeah.
You know,
well, but the top of your game on paper.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't know about you, but I certainly feel, as I get older, and, you know, technique aside, I'm like not talking about that, I'm talking about sheer brain power and the confidence and experience and ability to make choices mm-hmm. Within not just my technical movement, but within, you know, whatever storytelling I'm doing. Whereas in the past, I felt it was completely just sort of accidental ability spilling out, you know, into right. whatever I did.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I mean, I like to use my brain when I think about what I'm going to do at this point, which mm-hmm. is actually really fulfilling, because then you feel, sometimes you don't feel like you can control your dancing, mm-hmm. but you can control your choices and your portrayal of a character or a feeling or even something completely contemporary. You choose how you want it to look, and that I feel like the audience can feel and can sense your individuality, and I think it's important for them to know that you have a brain, mm-hmm. and it's like a freedom of speech thing, but with dance.
And I think that absolutely. Says a lot about, I absolutely agree with you, and I think it says a lot about where we work. Being here at American Ballet Theatre, I think Kevin McKenzie does give us, you know, artistic freedom and artistic expression, and to make, you know, to make, he allows us to make mistakes, and he allows us to kind of think about the role and show him what it is that we think of it. Mm-hmm. Of course, if there's something that really doesn't go so well, he will mm-hmm. you know, be the first one to tell us, which is wonderful, but it also matures you in a way, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're forced to use your brain. Mm-hmm. You're not spoon-fed. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first joined and I was first learning these roles that you guys have done for like a decade, you know, like mm-hmm. I did my first ABT Swan Lake with Jill, right. And I remember Kevin would be like, this is the, you know, the rubric, basically. This is your base of the choreography. And, you know, I want you to do this right now. And he was like, and then we can evolve it and you can make some choices and figure out whatever, but we have this much time, mm-hmm. and so here's your version, and we'll get to a point where you can really just mess around, essentially, mm-hmm. Which I think is really respectable. It's not like this rigid sort of like, you have to do this even though you look garbage doing it, you know, yeah. Which I really respect that.
Totally. Yeah. There's a lot of room for interpretation. Mm-hmm. So much room.
Keeping tradition, you can, but you can interpret it in many different ways, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why, like you said, every night at ABT is so different, with the different principles. And even when you pair people off with a new partner, all sorts of different things happen, mm-hmm. just with that chemistry and people responding in the moment. Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. You can tell who wants to sleep with each other by the way they dance with each other.
Oh, yeah, right away.
Wow.
Corey just turned around, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for right now. I have to go rehearse the wedding scene from Romeo and Juliet. I know.
Romance. Beautiful scene.
It's so beautiful. thank you guys so much for coming to the Stage Right Side with moi.
Thank you.
And can you guys both just prattle off your social media, your Instagram or Twitter or whatever? Marcy?
Instagram is Marcelua, which is the name of my dog.
And that's spelled Marcelua.
That's right. And Twitter is MarceloGomez47.
Because you were born in 1947?
No.
JK.
Because
why?
I'm not going to tell you.
All right, Jill.
My Instagram and Twitter is Jillian E. Murphy.
Easy.
So GillianEMurphy.
And my Instagram and Twitter is James B. Whiteside, and Facebook.com/James Bruce Whiteside. Snapchat is James Bruce White, and you can visit my website at www.jameswhiteside.org. And thanks for coming to the Stage Right Side. Say bye.
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 Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.